The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's NXT review for July 19th, 2017. And of course, like always, we are brought to you by the W2Mnet.com, as well as 411mania.com. And just to let you guys know, maybe you haven't found us yet, go search out Wrestling to the Max wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe it's Apple Podcasts or Spreaker or wherever you get them. Go search that out. Go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review. Hey, and if you love everything over there at the W2Mnet.com family, make sure you go ahead and find out about the W2M Network. That's right. That's the place where you go get every single podcast that that website puts out. It is amazing. Not only do you get us, but you got a lot of other great wrestling podcasts like our friends over at Wrestling Unwrapped, and you can get other great content that you're missing out on if you haven't already checked it out. Of course, YouTube is also a special place for us. There's plenty of people that have subscribed there, and we know it's a big deal, so we want you guys to know about that. Go check it out now and subscribe there as well. Well, I am Gary Vaughn, and your host is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, we've got NXT that, you know, has a few things that have kind of progressed. I'm kind of curious about some of the people that we've got back involved on the TV tapings of NXT in this one, too. So there's quite a bit here to dive into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just right off the bat. I think this is a super strong episode of NXT. A really, really fun hour. Lots of great wrestling. Lots of story progression, as Gary just mentioned. And they open with Ember Moon taking on Ruby Riot, which they replay the video package of that whole thing going down at the Performance Center last week, where they sort of challenged each other in a not-so-direct way. And these two go out here and just have an awesome 8-9-minute match. They go back and forth. I don't really feel like Ruby really loses anything in the loss of Sheets and Eclipse. And, Ember Moon is the heir apparent, right? I think we all know that. But it's certainly nice to see all these other women that they put on NXT every week, like a Ruby Riot and like a Nikki Cross, who are booked to hang with the two top dogs right now. And I think that's really cool.
I think it's wonderful, and we've talked about that quite a bit and when we do these reviews. And I think what's awesome about this match alone is shows that they're willing to give you some really great content coming from that division and not just have them being short little matches and mostly behind the scenes and it being stuff where they just kind of drag it out, right? Because let's be honest, they don't overexpose Asuka anymore on NXT. They just don't. She's kind of safe for that special, you know, event. Whatever that event's at, that's where she comes into play. Right now, they're using, I think Moon and Riot in a great way, and you mentioned Cross and some of the other talent like that, and really kind of using them instead of Asuka, which is, hey, that's fine. You need to build them up more. Asuka's kind of already been built, right? Already gone to the plateau of, I think, pretty much where you can go in NXT.
Right.
So, a great, you know, way to have a great match here. I think, like you mentioned before, Riot lost nothing here. Moon, coming back and trying to get back in the groove of things off another injury. And I think that this is a good step for her to kind of move forward. And I think you look at Riot, like you were talking about, and I think really doesn't take a step back here. I think really kind of gets a chance to maybe go and do something else. And that's fine. And I'm kind of curious to see when we get this whole situation back in progress with Asuka and Moon, how that's going to unfold from here. That's what's kind of cool about it. But I think, you know, the beginning of the show started out with something important, and that's another thing I wanted to touch on, is it's really great to see when they get those opportunities to start on something that really could have been your main event. And that's a positive thing for me. I think that that's a really wise decision. Hook people at the beginning.
I agree with you. And on, I mean, they have a pretty large main event, no pun intended, because the two gentlemen involved are quite big, but I agree. This could have main evented an NXT, an episode of, I don't know about TakeOver, but certainly this is a really good match, and they're capable of so much more, which I think is the great part about this, too. They leave you wanting to see them get back in the ring together again, so I really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I think we do too, for the fact that, you know, you get a little bit of everything in these shows. You don't just get one storyline out of that division either. You've seen the vignettes that they've done. I'm already blanking now on the names, but you see the Australians. Help me out here.
Billy Kay and
yes. Royce. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know. My brain must not be working right. Not enough coffee yet. But I think that it's great that, you know, you at least get stuff with them. Maybe not in this episode, but in the past. And you get some of them other talent sprinkled in here and there. And like Sonya, you know, you get a chance to have them sprinkled in, and it's not overexposure, and it's not, you know, anything too bad. So, sure, no one else was really featured in this episode, but they do a great job building up to this, not to have to have that. So that's what I love about NXT.
Yeah, I agree with you. And talking about that, we get to see a lot of, I think, the mid-card get a attention on this one, because it's been main event, main event, main event for the last couple of episodes, and to that extension, Hideo, Tommy, and Cassius Ohno are set for a match next week. We get to see Ohno discuss coming back to NXT with an interviewer before he's cut off by Hideo, who shows up and wonders why they're having the match. And Cassius is like, hey man, I warned you that I'm going to take action. I'm going to stop you from doing all of this crazy stuff. And Tommy gets all pissed off and kicks a trash can and sort of scream some stuff at Ohno before storming off. So clearly Hideo is cool with whatever, and Ohno is this is a little confusing if you ask me, because Cassius is kind of, I don't know, like he's there and he's equally at fault in all this too, and it's just, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the match. I think this has just been a little rocky since that tag match.
Yeah, you're right, and you know, it's kind of funny you're pointing that out, because I wanted to ask you that question of how invested are you? Because I'll be honest with you, this is okay, but I can't tell you that I'm overly invested. Am I happy about the matchup? Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a great matchup in the ring. I mean, once they start that bell, it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of excitement, and I hope lives up to what we expect. But building up to that with this whole storyline and all that, it's not that they didn't do a good job of trying to make something interesting. I just don't know that they're pulling it off to the extent that it needs to be. I don't know. There's something lacking here to making me super care about what's going on. And no hate to Kenta, Hideo Itami. But I think that, you know, him being a heel actually kind of spices him up. It actually makes him feel like he's a dangerous man, which he is. If you watch him in the ring, he could be a very dangerous guy. And you see a guy like Cassius Ohno, where I think he's like straight from the 70s. It's like laid back, man, you know, like hanging out, just relaxing, no worries, you know, kind of guy. And I don't know that I'm really super invested in that. And I'm not going to... Well, I've already said that stuff before, but my point being is I'm not sure that I'm super invested in this, even though I like the matchup. Mm-hmm.
I think this is leading to sort of some big explosion thing, because I don't know if we can necessarily say that Itami has fully turned heel. Yes, he practically murdered Oney Lorcan and all that, but it felt like more fighting stuff, you know, like he's rougher around the edges now, but I wouldn't say he's a full heel, and Cassius is... I don't know if I would say he's a full face either. So some of that shades of gray stuff going on here. And honestly, I mean, as much as I'm really excited to watch this match, I think the storytelling might have been a little uneven coming out of the tag, like I said. So I think that's just, it's subtler steps here or there that are really small, but they kind of take away more than you imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you a question just because of the fact that I love the fact that you follow the indie so closely, and I don't. I get to ask the questions, and maybe some of the casual fans are listening to this asking too. You know, we always hear about how Chris Hero, which is, of course, you know, Cassius Ohno, about how great he is on the indie circuit, how he does, you know, all these amazing things, and people just love him. They line up in the, you know, to get his autograph, all this stuff. And then you have him on NXT, and he's put in front of a camera, and he does, you know, some stuff like he did in this episode, where he's just kind of talking, not actual ring action. Mm-hmm. I know in the indies it's not about the whole promos and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, even just in the ring cutting a promo before a big match or something like that, what they're doing here in NXT just not working with him, or is this just Chris Hero?
So most of Chris Hero's success has come out of him being a heel, you know, the bad guy, and he is superb at that. And his entire time in NXT, as far as I'm aware, even the first time around, has been him as a babyface. And that's, he can do it, don't get me wrong, and he's a great babyface just because at this point in his career, people know who he is, people love watching him, people know what they're going to get. And he can sort of ride on that. And that's not necessarily something you could probably do in NXT, but I feel like NXT feels like they can get away with it sometimes. And I don't know if that's necessarily working for Cassius here, but Chris Hero heel on the independents is where people flock to loving him, just because he's so good at being an ass. And not to mention he's a bruiser. So, I mean, really, his whole shtick works around just beating you up, and That works better, obviously, when you're a heel beating up somebody people love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It really is the honest truth. And, you know, I remember at the end of his first NXT run, they did do the whole heel thing. And, he became a jerk, and it was just really rude to people. And mm-hmm. I remember him wearing the glasses and all that kind of stuff. And I actually kind of liked him, and I was kind of disappointed to hear that he left. So having him back and being the babyface, I think – it's not that he's doing a terrible job. I don't want to say that because he's not doing a bad job. I just think he's kind of a soft-spoken kind of person. And I think that kind of comes off a little different when he's playing this babyface role. Now, if I think he was a heel like you're talking about, I buy more into it. That's what I kind of like about Kenta, too, because he doesn't honestly have to say a whole lot to be a heel.
Right.
And that builds a lot to strengthen him because he's not focusing on being – you know, cutting a 5 to 10 minute promo and trying to do it in English when it's not exactly the strong point. So mm-hmm. I think both these guys would do good being heels. But on the flip side, I mean, I'm happy that they're working. Once again, we got to remember this is developmental. This is why Chris Hero's here. Or excuse me, I keep saying that now. This is why Cassius Ohno is here to work mm-hmm. on being a babyface. That way, when he does hit the main roster, if he does, he can actually have it down pat, and he knows who he is, right? That's right. What he's doing. He's finding himself here in the WWE, and that's okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Let's get excited about this match coming forward.
Oh, next week it's sure to be a barn burner for sure. And after that whole thing, we get another promo for the Street Profits who end up dancing on top of a production truck, which is kind of funny. This feels much less like Crime Time, which I was grateful for. This just feels like two silly guys now, which I'm okay with, honestly. Yeah. So.
No controversy there, right? Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good idea in this social climate. But yeah, I mean, I think it's cool, and it makes you want to really get to know who they are. And I think that slowly that we're getting to see who, you know, these guys are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then after that, we get this great, great brawling sprint from Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. 4 minutes, but they hit the crap out of each other, so much so that I believe Danny Burch busts his nose. Oney looks pretty bedraggled at the end, and after Oney gets the win with a single leg crab that forces Danny to tap because Oney's pulling on it pretty good, they shake hands afterwards, and then Danny challenges him to a rematch, to which Oney agrees. So, I think the sky's the limit, really, for this pairing, especially if they get more time or if they decide to tag up or whatever they want to do with these guys. This match taking place maybe on, like, the pre-show before Brooklyn that we'll see on NXT later, maybe that would be an awesome place for this, too.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think it would be really well done if they did that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because, you know, these guys kind of have a similar look. And they come into the ring, and I think they're kind of in a similar position in a way. I think that they're great talents that don't always get the win, but they put in the work. And they proved in this match that, hey, you know, we're going to have to be facing each other. We're going to put in the work again. And they both, I mean, were, like you said, knocking the crap out of each other, just making it look really strong and tough and just a really interesting match to watch just because, like I said, they have a similar way of doing things. Not completely the same style, but, you know, similar in the hard hitting and some of the, you know, exercises that they go through during the match. I think, you know, having Oney Lorcan win the first one was a really cool idea. I think it's a something I didn't see coming. I really didn't. I thought Danny Burch would get the rub and take the victory home. Oney Lorcan winning, and then Burch saying, I want another shot. I think that's brilliant. I think it's something that we really don't see a lot in wrestling in general when it comes to WWE. Maybe other places, but I just don't think about it really being a WWE thing in general overall. And I love that. I love that little throw in there, and it gives you a reason to care about the next matchup. And this, you never know. We may get, you know, one of those two out of three fall matches or something, which would be really great, especially like you said, if it was the big pre-show at Brooklyn. That would be great.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, for sure. However they want to go about this, I'm fine. Like KO match or something, or submissions, or whatever they want to go. These guys are legitimately super tough. Obviously, Danny Burch has some years on the formerly known Biff Busick or Oney Lorcan, but my God, they... Just sign me up for whatever. Tape fist match, I think that'd be great, too. Whatever they want to do.
Oh, man.
Whatever
they want to do. You're right. That would be cool. I'd love to see that one, too. I mean, these guys, I mean, it's kind of funny because they're not flashy. They're not the normal, you know, what you would think of a big match. But these guys come into it, and it's almost like, hey, you know, this is a very UFC fight-like matchup, and it's not involving anything with mixed martial arts completely, but it's what I loved about it. When I saw this matchup and they got in the ring and did their thing, I was like, oh my God, it's kind of like I'm watching an MMA fight, even though it's not. So exactly. It's good. I'm excited about what they're going to do in the future.
Absolutely. Moving forward from there, No Way Jose comes out to take on Cesar Bononi, who of course is the Brazilian that upset Andrade Cien Almas a couple weeks ago. Jose just pretty much squashes him, excuse me. And then after the match, Almas comes out. He's got Thea Trinidad with him, who has had her name announced online, but I don't think they've said it on air yet, and I can't remember it. So Almas attacks Cesar to get revenge for the loss that he suffered, and then looks to kind of goes face-to-face with No Way Jose and then bails. And Thea sort of like, you know, calms him down a little bit, and they walk out together. So... Interesting developments there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and I'm really kind of curious to see, you know, what that's going to be like because of the fact that we've got a guy like Almas who, you know, really honestly has to build himself up in a different way, and he's doing that now. And he's actually kind of building up this really great heel persona. And I think people, especially with the addition of Trinidad, man, I think this guy could turn it around. At first, I was a little worried. I was honestly kind of thinking this guy is going to be in and out of NXT and probably hitting back the independent circuit. And now, all of a sudden, he's kind of rejuvenated. And I love it, man. He's doing an excellent job of being that heel. And having someone with him, it just adds so much more to him. So I think this is great. And you need someone to kind of face a guy, you know, like No Way Jose, because, you know, he needs that, you know, really strong heel to face against, because he is so out there when it comes to being the baby face. I mean, he is a cartoon, let's be honest, right? He's a cartoon, and that's great. That we need those kind of guys. He's talented, there's nothing wrong with him, but he is so jubilant, and he's so much I don't know. He almost sparkles out there. It's kind of that kind of guy. So I think this is great. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do and all that. And I feel bad for, what is it, Bononi or Bizzoni, or I can't even say his name. I just think Bologna every time I hear his name. I'm like, yeah.
Bononi, I think, is how they pronounce it. But they keep changing it. Like, the ring announcer can't say it twice the same either. So
See, at least I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Please, just ask for a name change. Do something. Oh, my God.
Fix that last name a little bit, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, just really quickly, do you think this is going to help No Way Jose? Because I kind of feel like No Way Jose is kind of being forgotten about a little bit here. It's almost like he came out and I was like, oh, wow, he's still here. I forgot.
You know, I mean, I feel like a broken record at this point because I feel like we talk about this every week. But NXT is so stacked, and it's only going to get more stacked, right? We know Leo Rush is on the way. We're going to talk about somebody else on our part two episode later on that's recently signed on with NXT. And like the names just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's it's so large now that it's hard to stick out, I think. And especially time is going to become very precious to a lot of, especially mid-card acts like a No Way Jose, who has flirted with the main event scene and sort of, you know, not really. So a lot of these guys could really be put in a tag team just to help out the division, and that gives you another way to make time, especially with Authors of Pain, who are just, you know how NXT and WWE feels about them right now, so just pairing up faces together, seeing who could take him down would be really fun, too. But, you know, No Way Jose, if the feud is with Almas going forward, is clearly going to be here to put over that new act, right? Because now you can shape Almas in a new way with Trinidad in his corner and sort of focus that line going towards wherever they want to go in the future with him, whether that's the NXT Championship or whether that's continuously feuding with a lot of these upper echelon guys and getting wins here or there still, if they still want him to be that gateway sort of thing. But, I mean, I don't think they'd be putting this act together unless, one, they had high aspirations for him here in NXT, or two, maybe looking at scooting some people over to the main roster sooner rather than later at the top and having him being able to take over. Because I don't think he's quite ready for the main roster, but that's never stopped WWE before.
Yeah, that's very true. And they have been known to kind of, you know, make decisions on a whim. It just think, you know, oh, this guy could be, and then they find out, hey, we kind of screwed up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think if WWE keeps stacking people in this NXT and it becomes too filled up, they're going to have to be forced to do something with the tag division. Heck, they may even have to add a trios title. That way they could get everybody at least 5 minutes on TV sometime. So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited about these names. But yeah, I do worry a little bit about guys like, you know, Almas, and of course, you know, the No Way Jose, because, you know, the time is limited.
Right. And I guess just to sort of compound and try to put a finish on this topic, I know at the beginning of this year we always do a wish list, and for me, one of my wishes was for NXT to figure out what it wanted to be, whether it wanted to be sort of a AAA where you have all the big indie guys hanging out and you're bringing these acts in there to sort of put the finishing touches on them. And then on that house show circuit or something else, you put your performance center guys or people who you don't think are ready for that on that circuit and you have them go that way. So that way you have a more focused time limit of who's doing what here and there. And maybe that leads to a second developmental brand that you create and broadcast on the network, which would be fine. But I, you know, there's just, I think if you're going to keep packing people in NXT, you're going to have to give more people time to work, and you need to figure out how you want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I'm kind of jealous of New Japan, because they can send people on excursion and,
yeah,
you know, they're not forced to, like, okay, well, we have to have everybody in our system. It's like, you know, at least, hey, I could follow all these young guys in different places and get everybody. But not here. They only have an hour of TV every week, and that's, you know, that's fine. I don't want it 2 hours. We've had that discussion that we don't want that. It's just the fact that we understand it's still stacked. So there you go.
Absolutely. And this brings us to our main event, which is, of course, the number one contenders match to determine who will face Bobby Roode for that NXT championship at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Drew McIntyre takes on Killian Dane. They get about 10 minutes. I was expecting more. Not to say this was bad. I think it's above average, but it's not like that knockout blow of a match you wanted it to be. Drew McIntyre does get the win. It takes two claymores to keep Dane down, which I think makes Dane look super strong, and then they do a good job by that throughout with McIntyre hitting all of his big stuff before that and failing to keep Killian Dane down while Killian Dane just kept battling. So once again, I think I enjoyed the story, but I was expecting a lot more.
Yeah, and I did too. And to be honest with you, I didn't expect a clean finish. I really didn't. I thought there would be some interference or something would go awry, and, you know, it would be something like that. I really never really figure Killian Dane winning clean either, though. Drew McIntyre having this winning streak is very important. And I think they're making a great point here, is this guy is setting himself up for a big title push. And it's not only that, it's, you know, possibly setting up a maybe a long title run. I don't know that, But, I mean, it just seems like this guy is set for the main event. He's set to do some better things than, you know, we've already seen. And this is a good start to that. I think Killian Dane is a great matchup. It didn't live up, like you were saying here, it didn't live up to what you were expecting. You kind of wanted more, but you walk away happy because both guys did fine. They didn't blow you away, but they at least did things in the ring that kind of showed you that, and if this matchup happens again in the future, it could be better. And I'm happy about that. And I think giving Killian Dane that chance to look that strong is very important. And sure, he didn't win. We're learning with Sanity. They're kind of like the Wyatt family. They're not always going to win, but they can come out looking strong. And you'll still believe next week that Killian Dane can kill anyone. And I still think that to this day. So I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy with Drew McIntyre and his accomplishment. And I also love the fact that, you know, he's basically screaming at Bobby Roode in the camera, right? You know, I'm coming for the title. I really thought that was a great cap to the end of the show. I thought that was kind of important for them to do because we need more of Drew McIntyre spouting out that kind of stuff. We need more of his emotions and how he feels. I think that's just going to make him more desirable to that main roster too. They need to see that. See, this is the kind of stuff that they didn't always get when he was when his first run with WWE. So I think him doing it here on NXT, he's already worked himself up with the indies and of course working over there and Impact and things like that. I mean, I'm just super excited, and I think that he's learning a lot and he's done a lot, and man, I can't wait to see that matchup.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to keep expounding on Drew McIntyre then and now, I think now he has such a better look to him, too, with the beard, and he looks probably in the best shape that he's ever been in, and, like, he looks like a certified badass. And that's something I don't think you can really, you know, overstate, because if you go back and look at him during his first run when he was Intercontinental Champion, or his second run... if you ever seen any of his stuff from Florida Championship Wrestling, he didn't really look that part. You know, they had big aspirations for him, but he's so baby faced. Like, so I think this really works out well for him. I think him and Bobby will have a spectacular match. I feel like this is the right call. Not to shorthand Killian Dane or anything, but I think Sanity gonna have some other plans for him coming down the stretch. So, good call all the way around, and really, it might be two of the biggest stars in NXT you have going at it in Brooklyn, and really, for the biggest show on NXT's calendar, I think that's what you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Brooklyn is just, you know, that's why they team it up with SummerSlam, right? Mm-hmm. Because both those shows have become, you know, markers and shows that you've got to watch every year. So that's what's so cool about this, is they're really going to give you something to really, you know, entice you to be excited about what's going on in NXT Brooklyn this year, and I think that's great. And to touch on Killian Dane really quickly here, I think he's a guy that, you know, is definitely proving himself to be a really good talent, to show that he is that big man that you want, because, you know, he's super athletic. and to see what he can do is super awesome. But, I mean, I think there's still some things that they've got to tweak, and I think they're still working on him, and they're trying to get that perfect fit for him and see where they're going to take him. And, you know, we just mentioned how stacked NXT is. That's another issue, too, because they've got that main event in NXT so filled up with guys, they can't just throw Killian Dane in there and just let him go and, you know, hey, you're going to get a chance at the NXT Championship right now. No, they've got to build it. So having him a part of Sanity, having some of the storylines, having him, you know, involved in more than one thing is always a positive for him, because he can be on TV a majority of times and still look great, you know, when he has the singles matches without the rest of the guys. So I'm very happy with what they've got going with Killian Dane. And this is just one of those mile markers he can mark down and say, the match with Drew McIntyre was good, and he can move to the next one.
Exactly. And that's going to do it for our coverage of NXT this week. Once again, a really, really strong episode. I'd recommend the whole show.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I hope that people do go check it out if you haven't watched it. Well, you know, make sure everybody knows, we, of course, cover NXT every week, so if this is the first time for you to listen, make sure you go and subscribe, rate, and review over there at Wrestling to the Max, wherever you get your podcasts, or maybe you listen to us on YouTube. Subscribe now. You'll get all our NXT shows, plus we always do a Raw review, a SmackDown Live review, and even a 205 Live review. That's right, we do all the shows when it comes to WWE. Make sure you go find them. Also, hey, you know, if you love listening to pay-per-view reviews, reviews. We're going to be doing one for Battleground this Sunday night. So, hey, there's some content there for you. Plus, we do a Wrestling to the Max episode every Tuesday and every Friday for you guys. You don't want to miss them. They'll be available for you when you wake up in the morning. Don't want you to miss them. Trust me. And, you know, Paul just mentioned, we got some big news coming for you about NXT on our part two this week. If you're listening to this, it's going to probably be already done. So go ahead and go find it. It'll be episode 256, part two, and you'll get that NXT information plus a lot of other great wrestling news. We'll be doing a Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground review as well on that show, and just some great discussions to be had. So really excited about that. Make sure you go, of course, once again, W2Mnet.com, 411Mania.com, and of course, we thank you once again for joining us. We will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.